little something like this. Tag team, back again. Check, get directed, let's begin. Party on, party people, let me hear some noise. DC's in the house, jump, jump, rejoice. Hi, I'm Rick Katchke.
I'm Drew Steck.
I'm Evan Pylock.
And this is the Internet's Maximum potential. And that was Whoomp, There It Is by Tag Team. Often alluded to, never played before on the program until today. Episode 12, The Dozen Mark.
Whoomp, there it was. And there it went.
We're joined today by Evan Pylock, a longtime pal of mine. Evan, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, guys. It's good to be here on the internet.
It was a pleasure.
A little bit of confusion as to where you are.
Wait, are we here?
I believe
I'm on the internet, so. But anyway, I'm out near a lake. Evan was
this
admiring.
This is what it looks like.
He was admiring the lake earlier,
really,
so he was taking it all in.
I'm just going to skip the podcast and just. Just a quick
Evan, swim. Yeah, Evan's just checking in. After that, he's just gonna go hang out in the lake. He's gonna go take a swim, and maybe he'll come back later. And
is your kayak around?
How the water was. Yeah, I think it's down.
You're more than welcome to use the kayak.
Just
buddy.
Leave and go take the kayak.
It's not mine, but I'm giving you permission on Drew's behalf.
Oh, thank you. I may take
it. Well, you did a bit that was co-produced using the kayak, so I think you have partial ownership.
That's true. That's true. Evan is a sister of a. Is the Evan?
So long, everybody.
Wow, I'm learning a lot.
Evan was in Sister Act 2, which is why he's on the program. No, Evan's sister was a classmate of mine in high school, and I met Evan on Black Friday many years ago. I was hanging out at the mall with his sister and some of her friends, and Evan was tagging along. And I admired him. The kid reminded me of a young Rick Katchke. So
yeah, that sparkle in his eye.
Yeah, he has that love.
Didn't you have a surgery to have that sparkle removed out of your eye?
Well, I was hoping to get it implanted in somebody else's eye. There was a big push for donors.
Is so. It genetic? Will your children have it?
Well, I'm not sure. Some DNA tests need to be run.
Okay.
So, we'll see.
Sorry, that was just a little personal between me and Rick. It's, you know. It's a condition he has.
Evan loves 80s new wave music.
I do. I don't listen to it as much now.
What?
Yeah.
What's happened to you, Evan?
I discovered that new music is still produced, so I've decided to try that out.
Wait, there was music made after 1989? I didn't know.
Neither did I. Till, like,
this is shocking
I'm
to
sorry.
Me.
Yeah,
I don't hang out that often with Evan. We've always remained good friends.
Coincidentally, that was also the first time that Evan has ever heard Whoomp, There It Is.
He's just catching up
yeah,
to it.
Yeah.
By new music, he's up to like Ace of Base with the Sign.
Yeah.
Which was like Lee's favorite album when she was in high school.
That's a good album.
Oh, wow.
Evan, what's happened? Honestly, you don't give me this new music.
No, I still have a special place in my heart for, you know, Flock of Seagulls, Thompson Twins, but I like a lot of newer music now, and obviously it's disappointing, Rick, so I may have to, you know, not be his friend anymore.
this could be it.
Wow.
This could be the first. this could
last.
Be a first on the internet's Maximum Potential.
And a last, too.
The breakup of a friendship on podcast
it's
form.
Thrilling. Yeah,
it's
thrilling.
Evan also is a creative type. He has made two films, King Pong and King Pong 2. He's also the one of the featured players, if not the star, of the John Thompson, Brad Gage film, Hard, Tough, Kill Time.
Yes.
I said it right.
He got it.
I always want to say hard, fast, tough, time, kill.
You always want to throw like an extra word in there, like an
awesome.
Extra couple words.
I'm always like, time nice. Cop.
Is that it?
Time cop. Good.
Time cap too. Yeah, a friend of mine also, Amanda Agert, she mispronounces it too. She thinks it's Heart of Kill Time. So I think like 2 weeks ago, she finally I told her that that's not at all what it is.
Was it like the sort of thing where she would make a big social faux pas, where she would say it in public and you wouldn't correct her, and everyone was sort of laughing
just
about kinda,
it
yeah. behind her back? Like,
well, it's sad because she's deaf in one ear, so you know, that's just the way she thought she
everyone would go over to the left side of her and just start whispering about it. That's horrible.
Oh, but yeah, no, King Pong and King Pong 2, Rick told me a little bit about, and I'm I haven't seen them yet, but I'm it's highly anticipated in my room, I guess.
Why don't you give a summary of the King Kong series?
Series?
Yeah, well, I mean, you are the George Lucas of the King Pong franchise. There's many King Kong fanboys out there that want to know.
Yeah, it's
I don't even like the movies anymore.
This small but strong sect in Ohio.
This is like Joseph Campbell's The Power of Myth, and we're here with the man himself who created the myth.
I got a ping pong table sophomore year in high school, and I was like the coolest thing in the world. And a friend, buddy Joel and I, we decided that we were going to make a movie on it because we were, I guess, bored out of our minds. And we didn't, honestly, I don't write scripts, so we just basically shot about 48 minutes. I'd say about 30 minutes have music over it, 80s music, naturally. So it's, you know, like a Michael Mann kind of stylized over substance.
There you go.
And the second one actually is a lot better than the first one. There is a bit more of a, like, a linear story to it. Like, the first one, I think, 30...
It's like you guys playing ping pong matches. It's like watching people play ping pong. And but one of them is, like, these two guys called the Van Buren Boys, which I always... That's their name, right?
Yeah.
It's wait, did you guys play reference. Every character, or was it
no,
you bring other people in and then have them play ping pong against you guys?
We had some friends come in for it, but it was basically me and Joel.
But the Van Buren Boys, for some reason, that name has stuck with me all this time. I've always appreciated it.
Yeah, it's a Seinfeld joke. If any of these many fans of this show are Seinfeld fans, but I think George runs into them. And yeah, it's their, what, like the eighth? He was the eighth, seventh president of the United States?
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah, Martin Van Buren, yeah.
I wasn't even thinking in terms of Seinfeld. I just always liked... I liked a gang, an 80s gang going by Van Buren.
It kind of does, yeah.
Yeah, they just kind of disappeared, too. We wanted to bring them back for the second one, but then we kind of decided that we'd have Scientology as the central focus of King Pong 2. Rick?
You got a little too political, it sounds like, in King Pong 2.
Hey, that's... We push buttons. Rick came in, and you played L. Ron Hubbard, didn't you?
Yeah, that was... It was quite a day. It's one of my better performances.
It was good.
It's kind of over the top. I do.
But L. Ron Hubbard was over the top.
That's true. That's true. I basically, Evan was really nice. Did a lot of research, and all of my dialogue is actually things that L. Ron Hubbard said in some of his speeches. He just does a great job referencing the work of L. Ron Hubbard, the Mission Earth series. Yeah, it's an excellent script, and
script.
Well, I'm giving you credit for your work.
Okay, thanks.
My performance would have been nothing without those beautiful words that were provided.
So,
do you think
do you think King Pong 2 was hurt by? Was there more of a structured script in King Pong 2, or was it?
Because a lot of people, to interrupt you, Evan, but people missed constant ping pong matches. They wanted to watch two relatively unknown guys play ping pong, and that was something
45
lacking
minutes
from the sequel.
With some Frankie Goes to Hollywood, you know, in the background.
Was there just more, like, stuff away from the ping pong table? You explored the universe of these King Pongs?
I think in the second movie, there is, like, two ping pong matches, and I think the first one has seven or eight. So, I mean, it's a different movie. And I think it's a lot better.
What's the running length of the second one?
I think 43 minutes. It's a lot quicker. We actually, like, everything in King Pong was shot either in my basement or my backyard.
Oh, well done. Yeah.
And now we actually, like...
Well done! Oh, well done. Well done.
And then the second one, we actually shot... I work at Valley Cinema in Oak Creek, and we shot... You know, as a plug for Value Cinema Oak Creek, if we have Speed Racer playing. But anyways,
which was Brad Gage, that is a highly underrated film.
I disagree, but we'll save that for another episode.
Wait, you don't like Speed Racer?
I don't really like Speed Racer, the cartoon itself.
I'm the same way.
So I just like, it was basically just, you know, a big screen version of it, and I just couldn't.
So come to Value Cinema, buy a ticket to Speed Racer, and just hang out in the lobby.
Do something else.
Don't watch. Maybe, do you guys have arcade games in the lobby?
We do.
Hang out and play some arcade games.
You have the Simpsons arcade
game.
We
do. We do.
It's one of my favorites.
I've always been shocked that the Simpsons arcade game has never been ported to the NES or the Super NES. It was on the computer. They had floppy disk versions of it. And they just never bothered to follow up.
It's always
up.
Been one of my favorite 2D games.
Mm-hmm. It's like the it's like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game. Yeah, yeah. It's with the Simpsons.
Turtles in Time is one of my favorite. Yeah.
Yeah, we have that.
So you're giving a plug to the Valley Cinema. They do have the greatest platform game.
We do. We also have, let's see. Yesterday I got to fish out. This is what I do. I'm an assistant manager now there. And to describe, for 20 minutes I spent using a coat hanger that I found, digging out a prize that some woman won. That's basically, like, that sums up my job.
There. Like, is this in, like, one of those crane machines? It was like or did she, like, I want a piece of candy. Get it for me. Use a coat hanger. So you're in, like, the concessions booth trying to get out a thing of, like, Reese's Pieces. She said she won the prize. I'm going to be the assistant manager.
Do what the customer wants. Yeah,
the customer is always right. It was, she won a, they actually have, it's like it's like $1 to play, and some of the prizes are like I think they have like a Family Guy DVD set, a Simpsons DVD set, a baseball glove, a right-handed baseball glove, which for me does no good. But she won it, and then she won something else.
Sorry, I just had the image of a sadly ironic fate where like a child finally wins something from the claw machine. I'm left-handed.
That same British kid from Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, I fished it out and I got it.
What happened? Did it get stuck?
It got stuck. She won two prizes and they both got stuck, like, where you reach down to get it. So, I mean, like, they're both, like, trying to get down there, but they were pushing equally.
You know what I would have said? I would have said, sorry, you lose. That's part of the game.
Sorry, your prizes are obese and cannot fit through
Put
the
Put in another dollar. Try again. That's what I would have said. You gotta be firm.
Put your foot down.
But I got it out. It was great because it's like I never win at those games and I never like play those games. So for like
someone to win two prizes,
for a brief moment I felt like I had won these prizes.
You were living vicariously,
pretty much. That basically is it. So.
And yeah. So that sounds like fun. So anyway, you went there and you actually shot some scenes for King Pong in the Valley Cinema.
Yes. I think we shot. Actually, we shot, I think, like 2 seconds of a montage. But, you know, that's
another location.
Yeah, that's a location.
There you go.
Added to the belt, the notch on the belt. So, yes, that is...
The location
The mark belt. On the bedpost.
the location belt.
So, yeah, that's my life. Okay. What about you guys?
Yeah, it's like, what about you guys? What's your story?
Yeah, how did you guys get here? Yeah. What went wrong in your lives?
Yeah. is there a plan, King Pong 3?
Complete the trilogy?
Not at the moment, but like once school starts, I go to Marquette and I commute there, so I don't have any friends that live there basically. But like, Joel also goes to Marquette and commutes, so we'll see. Maybe we'll get really bored again and maybe make the best. Damn, I can swear on this, can I?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's explicit.
Best damn.
Just as long as you don't say idiot.
I won't. Now. We'll see. There aren't any plans now, but, you know, it's...
Maybe you could do it where the King Pong boys go to college, and then they learn how to play beer pong, and it's this whole struggle with their skills don't translate to beer pong, and they feel like they've been outmatched, and something like that.
You could write that.
Kind of like you need a punch up writing duo. First of all, Drew's not gonna be around.
I don't write. I just give Rick ideas and he just runs with them. And then he just kind of tosses away my ideas and then writes whatever he wants to write anyway. Oh. But he makes me feel like I'm involved in the process.
Okay.
So we work great together.
I incorporate some elements of your ideas. It's not like I completely disregard them.
No. When I give you an idea, you typically run with it, and then I decide that my idea was crap to begin with, and then we toss it out. So it's kind of a process.
By having you write it out, Rick, I realize that I don't have very good ideas.
I don't have very good ideas. When somebody else takes them and runs with them.
But so. Yeah, if you need a punch-up writer, I can write in an animated character if you need it, appeal to a larger market. You know my number.
An animated squirrel that follows them around. Oh, that's Lonely Island. So that's where that came from. Frazzles, the Channel 101 squirrel. But, yeah, no, I don't know. So just toss that. Maybe like Mighty Ducks 3 where they go away to school and like for some reason this team that was world champions can't beat a varsity hockey team.
No, I saw that movie too and I was like, this doesn't work at all.
But if you want to take that concept and shine it in a different light, there you go.
Mm-hmm. No, we... I had one idea, which I love. I think we got it. My friend Joel, like, there's some crazy girl that went to our school. I'm not going to name her just to protect identities.
Here, whisper it to me right now.
But she was in a couple plays, but
yeah, I think I know who you're.
She had like six or seven like is it live journal accounts? Uh-oh. And one of them.
now everybody knows what we're talking about.
It's like they're not. It's everyone's like a different identity, which is like great. Like like you think about it, that's a dedication. But it's just like, well, she had one idea, and I'm not gonna say it, but we had an idea that my character, no, my dad McNerdly, who's my dad, he gets trapped in the internet. And I have to get him out, and that's, I guess I thought
that might be like
yeah. I thought I'd get more of a reaction out of that. But
a premise. He gets trapped in the internet.
He gets, and I have to get him out somehow.
The problem though is there's that Channel 102 short called Gemberling, which is now on Adult Swim called Fat Guy Stuck in the Internet, which I think kind of takes that premise where a guy's trying to rescue someone from the being caught in the internet.
Well.
Since the internet's only been around for 15 years, I feel like that scenario has been played out way too much.
What's
you know?
The next wave?
No, I'm just...
What's, what is?
I think Rick is just really tied to my idea of them going to college. He really wants I'm to sorry. Like, he's already racing within his mind.
He's written 3 pages of
it. He's already got... Actually, physically, he has 3 pages.
There's, yeah, I mean, they're right here. If you guys want to look at them, it's, yes. It's early, but...
They're rough. They're pretty rough. I just came up with them literally 5 seconds ago. But, no, so King Pong 3.
Yes, probably not gonna happen. I did write a script. I don't know if you guys are fans of The Office. I am, myself. And I thought, like, the movie theater would be a great, like, kind of office-like situation. And we actually wrote, like, a 20-page script for that, but we never actually, like, followed through. But I guess I can say that I have written something.
So like an office-style show, but set in a movie theater.
Yeah.
I feel like is great, but I feel like almost everybody who's either a writer or a creative type like has recently come up with like, here's where I work. The office would be like this in my job. Yeah. Like literally, I worked in coffee shops and I came up with exactly a similar thing where it's like taking the office and translating it to a coffee shop. But then I kind of went a whole like different way with it. But no, I definitely think it'd be fun, but it's.
It's been done.
To say it's been done. I just think like everybody's playing it up right now.
Yeah,
I don't
know. True.
That's kind of my thing with The Office. Is
I'd
I feel
hold
like
off
it's
on it. I'd wait like 20 years.
Okay, but there's a
store it in the bank.
What if I had like a dragon?
Let it appreciate
a dragon.
Yeah, I got it.
That changes everything.
Okay.
Here's access to a time machine.
Here's what happens. Someone's playing the crane game, and they reach in. They get what appears to be a plush dragon, but. Here's the thing. It gets stuck. And as you're trying to jiggle it out of there, it comes to life. It's a real dragon. What has happened?
The claw machine is the cupboard from... It's built from the same wood as the Indian in the cupboard. And therefore has the magical ability to make characters come to life.
This is good. So then, now you're dealing... You've got people who work in a movie theater. They're not equipped to deal with a dragon.
You know, the one-liners and then...
I feel like if you did something like that, like maybe like... I think it'd be funny if you took a like The Office concept but put it into a totally unrealistic world since it's so about like reality and like a realistic world. Like put it into like the medieval time of slaying dragons, like so I slayed a dragon today. Yep. You know, just kinda like that like subtle office style humor but applied to absolutely unrealistic concepts.
I don't know, dragon in a movie theater seems like a better pitch to me.
I'm kind of dragon
because it
now,
works on like a meta.
Since Pete's dragon.
Since Aragon.
And Aragon.
I saw that, by the way.
Dragon Wars.
How was Aragon?
Terrible. I've seen Norbit. I don't know if you guys have seen. Like, I punish myself, I think, more than I actually like say, like, I'm going to see good movies. I say, no. Tonight, I'm going to see. Let's see, what have I seen? Oh, Delta Farce. I watched 40 Minutes. That's one of the very few movies I've walked out of.
There you go. So. How about my favorite dragon movie was Reign of Fire with Christian Bale and Matthew McConaughey, where dragons have taken over the world, and Christian Bale for some reason is the only human being with the ability to, I guess, resist their fire. Okay. So he fights back against the dragons in Britain, and Matthew McConaughey plays a crazy American soldier who's been traversing the planet killing dragons.
Here's how we sell this movie to Hollywood. It's a prequel to that, to Reign of Fire. Because how did these dragons get here? It came out of the goddamn crane machine at the movie theater.
Actually, they show that in the film, where the dragons came from. But we could totally disregard the first 15 minutes of the film.
These movies with their origin stories frustrates the hell out of me.
Why couldn't they just jump into the middle where there's fracking in the middle of the earth and no one knows why?
It starts out.
Maybe that's how we'll make King Kong 3 is
dragons.
Just dragons ruling the earth.
Keep in mind,
and for some reason, there's a King Paul tournament. A ping pong tournament.
Maybe they play ping pong against dragons for the fate of humanity.
We have a budget of like $10-$15, so if you guys can find dragons that will work for less than.
Now, do you mean you have a budget between $10 to $15, or do you have a budget of $10-$15? Where did you get this currency at?
I'm pretty sure you could put those on eBay and then turn those into even more money, because people go nuts for $15
bills. People love money that doesn't exist yet.
I'm pretty sure paper money is not going to exist in 50 years anyway.
Drew, right now we're recording this podcast on a MacBook.
An Apple computer. Yeah.
Have you had some issues with Apple lately?
This is unscripted.
Rick, I feel like you're picking a bone here, or picking at a wound. I'm looking for, searching for the analogy and not finding it.
I am picking a bone wound.
Which is the deepest kind of
wound. It's like, okay, someone just got shot in the leg. Their bone is exposed. You can see the bullet hole. And I'm going in there and I'm just spreading that tibia apart.
That's
I want bone marrow.
That sounds extremely painful. Ow. Anyway.
I'm picking at a bone.
Anyway, so recently, I haven't had any problems with Apple computers per se, but yes, with Apple as a company. If anyone knows, the new iPhone recently came out on July 11th, and on that day they decided to release the iPhone 2.0 software that goes along with the phone. For users who have the original iPhone, the first generation, which I have, and I decided to update my phone to the new software, and I was kind of looking forward to it. They have new things like the application store, where you can download, say, AOL Instant Messenger into your iPhone, cool stuff like that. And I go on at about 8 a.m., which is when the program gets uploaded right then. I'm sitting on there 7:50, 7:55, still not up, and then finally at 8 o'clock, bam, there it is. I download it, put it onto my iPhone, and then it gets all the way through the process until, fortunately, in order to install the new software, they have to remove all the information from your hard disk and then replace it on there. They've done all that. They've done everything like that. But then in order to unlock your phone, which is what happens at the beginning of getting your iPhone, it's an extremely complicated process. They unlock your phone. So once you get your phone, you really can't do it. Unlike a normal phone where you can go in and like check out games or applications, you can't do anything with an iPhone until you've signed up for service. Mm. So, in order to get your service back, you have to re-register the phone with Apple, and who reroutes it through AT&T. And unfortunately, their server for that isn't extremely large, because normally on most days, they only get a certain amount of traffic of people re-registering things or registering things. And unfortunately, it wasn't prepared to hold as much as the people who, like, apparently everyone who has an iPhone decided to update their phone, and then also people getting new iPhones all were doing it at the same time. So there's this mass amount of people, the servers crashed, and my phone wasn't usable for about 8 to 9 hours. And that was frustrating enough, because with Apple, you know, you expect things to work. With Microsoft, you know, you do things and you're like, oh, it's friggin' computers, things go wrong, and Microsoft, you know, it's like almost a 50-50 shot whether something's going to work the first time.
It's a crapshoot. You don't know
what it kind of is. Like, that's my experience with Windows.
Why I refuse to buy Apple. I like the thrills.
You know, if that's what you like.
Gambling.
That's what you like. But with Apple, their big thing is they expect everything to, you know, work together and work correctly, and that's their big thing. Mm-hmm. And for that not to happen, a lot of people were getting frustrated and upset, and apparently what happened was their servers just crashed and overheated and weren't even working. And so this goes on for 9 hours. And then over the next couple days, they still have not acknowledged as a company. They haven't released a press statement. They haven't, you know, officially put anything up on their website. Like, we're sorry that you couldn't register your phone or your phone was unusable. Because literally thousands to millions of people worldwide had no phone service, or their phones were unreachable during that time. I mean, think of a business that was lost or things that happened. And you know, I myself had a bunch of things. Like, I was trying to put in an application for a new apartment, and unfortunately, the apartment's in California, so I had to call out there, mm-hmm. and I couldn't get through to those people because I didn't have a phone. So They still have pretended like it hasn't happened. Like they're sweeping it under the rug. Like everyone will just forget that this ever happened and let it go away. So I don't know. It's kind of shady, but it's being called the iPocalypse, as in iPhone or iPod. And I thought that was kind of clever.
Whoever came up with that, I tip my hat to them. That is actually very clever.
It's very clever. So it was a big kind of deal that I'm
what,
sure
would have been a little funnier though. A little more appropriate if somehow Apple computers, there's like bombs in all of them, they start going off. On their iPhone, there's a bomb in it. Like, it's just this elaborate, oh my god, it's the end of the world.
It would
it's
be kind of
apocalypse.
Like the opening of The Happening with M. Night Shyamalan, where just things start happening, and then kids get shot in the face.
Yeah.
Without
I saw that movie.
Thank you, Evan, for bailing me out on that horrible analogy.
I like the movie as much as you guys did, we'll just say.
Have you seen it yet, Drew?
You haven't seen it?
I haven't got around to seeing it yet, no, because it came in and out of theater so fast that I never even got to get out there, so I'll have to come down to the Marcus Value Cinema when it swings on through in Oak Creek.
Yes, Wisconsin.
Just wanted zip to
code, zip code.
I don't know.
53132 there?
That's Franklin, isn't it?
Yeah, but I know Oak Creek sometimes shares the same zip codes.
I don't think so. I don't know, though.
Uh-oh.
You're listening to Zip Codes, the podcast.
We talk about zip codes. There's a spin-off idea for a podcast. Someone just take it and go with it. I don't have the time or the energy to focus on that. But, no, so...
That could be like a This American Life. Like, today on Zip Codes, I'm doing a really bad, I'm like a gay hourglass right now, but today on Zip Codes, we look at 60415. And then it's just like little, like, small town stories of like things that are happening to people that are in 60415. I think I have found.
That's I think the bad. Way that they choose the zip bad. Codes should be like bingo balls. Where are like or not like bingo balls? All
right,
like,
I'm copying. I'm sorry. I'm copywriting zip codes right now.
You're stealing.
This
it.
Is my. This is what's going to make me huge.
But I'm
on
thinking
NPR.
The way that you choose the zip code should be at random. So like you should choose them like they choose the Powerball or whatever. Yeah. So the balls just come up. So it's like, oh, there's our zip code, and then you go find out where it is. There you
Holy
go.
Shit.
There you go.
This is my big money marketing. Money marketing. I'm going to market
money.
Money.
The money market.
Well, we were going to market those $10, $15 bills. But.
Forget that. Forget pitching that to the mint.
You could still do it.
There's more money in public radio.
Yeah.
All right. Oh. It's an untapped, I think, resource.
Oh, my
public
God.
Radio.
That really is one of the best ideas I've ever had. Ridiculous as that sounds.
So... Punch that out. Yeah, add an animated character and you're good to go.
to a radio show.
He's animated, trust me.
Take my word for it.
You can't see
he
me.
Is 2D.
I'll get Don Bluth, who did The Land Before Time in American Tale and Space
When
Days.
Did he stop doing Land Before Times? Like, which Land Before Times?
I think
Time
he stopped start? After maybe the first or the second one. After that, they're like, we're running the show.
What are they on now? Like, 57? They're in the future now? They've gone past modern day and
they're...
The Land Before Time is now, you know...
Pretty close to now.
About 10 years into
the
future.
Yeah, they've caught up.
Yeah.
They're 10 years in the future.
But the dinosaur, the Petrie and Littlefoot, they're all still around, just kind of hanging out. They've adapted. I don't know. Petrie was big in stock broking during like the 80s, where he had like the shades and like the white suit.
They did cocaine. Things got really messed up in his life.
There you go. So, for anyone who's a Land Before Time fan, that's a pretty fun little visual. Anyway, getting as far away from that as possible.
I'm sorry. I'm just too busy thinking about
zip codes.
Pitching zip codes. Man, that's.
So any other fun Marcus Value Cinema stories, Evan?
Oh, probably a couple I'm not supposed to tell.
Okay.
We killed a kid.
One time we found a dead lady just laying there in the chair, and we didn't know what to do with her.
We used to have a guy named Darren who would come in, and he was, like, homeless, but he lived in his car, and he...
That wouldn't be homeless.
No, all right. Well,
his home is his car.
His home is his car, and his car is his home. But, just trying to think of a good, like an actual anecdote I have for you guys. He, gosh, that's really bad. I have nothing to say on Darren. He got he's been arrested several times. He's told us that he every story pretty much starts with him saying, I'm not racist or anything. And then basically it's just like, it allows him to be as racist as he wants to be.
I like how that works, how you say something like, you know, I'm not racist or anything, but I'm going to make this blatantly racist comment. And then you're like, wait a second.
He gives us candy bars. Well, he not anymore. We're pretty sure either he's in jail or he got a new job. And he used to just bring in, he couldn't pay for movies, but he would bring in candy bars that were like warm. And he would give them to us.
And you just feel so bad that you just let him go on in?
Yeah.
There you go.
I can't pay you today, but I'll come back tomorrow.
I'll come back. I'll get your money for you.
Have a whatchamacallit.
Well, that's happening a lot with the election, where it's like, I'm not sexist or anything, but I just don't think Hillary Clinton should be president. And it's like, why? Well, I like her platform and her issues, but I just don't like her personality. If you don't like that she's a woman, yeah, that's it.
Right. I'm worried about what she's going to do to the economy.
Are you saying that women can't handle money?
Well, no, I just don't want to come home and open up my paycheck and see there's just a bunch of whatchamacallits inside.
No, I'm saying, but the thing is, but that it's a double-edged sword.
I made a mistake referencing whatchamacallit twice in a row. I'm sorry. It's a double-edged sword.
I'm just saying it's a double-edged sword because you look at it and you say, like, well, if she isn't strong on a certain issue or, you know, are you saying that because she's not strong in that issue, all women are not strong in that issue? No, she just personally is not like that. But yes, women don't know how to handle money and shouldn't be president.
I know Evan's a big Democratic supporter, and I know that as a result, you got to meet Jake Gyllenhaal.
I did. Really? Yes, he was.
You got kind of a Jake Gyllenhaal little mini beard going on there too.
He was campaigning for John Kerry in 2004.
This is like a year ago.
He's still out there campaigning for John Kerry.
He's still fighting the fight. He's a good actor. He's not a very good speaker.
Some of them are. It's kind of funny, yeah.
It's weird. Yeah, it's like a totally different thing for him, I guess. But he, my friend Joel, who I made King Pong with, he's a big Bush guy, and he wanted to come. I'm like, all right, but you can't.
Big George Bush guy or big Bush guy?
He's a big Bushy guy.
Huge beard. Great big Bushy beard.
He's a George Bush guy, and I told him, like, you can come, but like, don't wear like a George Bush shirt. And he said he wouldn't, and naturally he did. And we took a picture. I don't know. Have you seen this picture?
I've seen the picture. Yeah.
And it's Jake Gyllenhaal, my sister, me, and Joel. And behind us is like this big like Carrie Edwards.
Oh no.
Blue and red sign, and everyone's like smiling, and you just see Joel's shirt open, and you just see a big W, and you can just read like George W, and it's just a great picture.
That's good stuff. I have a John Kerry for President of France shirt. I really wasn't like politically active during that election. I kind of dislike both candidates. Uh-huh. I voted for Pat Buchanan. I'm just kidding. But
yeah, you did.
Yeah, I did. I did. I'm not kidding. I'm not actually.
You wouldn't
kidding.
Know Pat Buchanan if you didn't vote for him.
No. But
that's how it works.
No. So anyway, I have this John Kerry for President of France shirt. I probably would have worn that and gotten some ridicule. I'd be like, I want him to be president, huh? Of France.
So that's how you met
Jake Gyllenhaal. Was he a nice guy?
He was a nice guy.
Talk to him a little bit, or was this kind of like pose, take a picture, and then later Jake Gyllenhaal?
Pretty much. My sister talked to him. I'm not going to lie to you, I'm very bad around, like, I guess celebrities, we'll just say. I remember when I met Mike Nelson from Mystery Science Theater 3000, I said like three words to him, and I was just like standing there, and I just remember smiling the whole time.
I tend to insult their whole structure of beliefs and religion.
Okay.
And then feel just really sorry or scared that they're going to do something about it.
I gave you the picture of you with Mike Nelson. No?
Nope.
No.
All right, I got to get that to you.
This is why your friendship's crumbling.
this is why he's turned to new music.
And sharing. Oh, well, I was just referencing a particular story where I met Jason Lee, but that's on an earlier podcast where I talked bad about Scientology and then didn't think he was a Scientologist because it's whack. But anyway,
this is like the anti-Scientologist episode.
This is definitely. I think that episode was got very anti-Scientology as well. I offended a lot of Scientologists, which is
why
we had such a large sect of
half your viewer base.
It was half our viewer base who they look at their computer, they're deaf, but they like watching the reverberations come out of the computer.
Someone signed to them that we made fun of Scientology, and they just.
Our deaf Scientology base is now gone, and it's sad. So,
That was where the money was too. Sponsors, we were in talks with a few, and they just
yeah, well, You know, they don't spend their money in many places, and we almost had them hooked.
The Battlefield Earth DVD people said no.
Said
not
no.
Gonna, we're not going to have you pitch it anymore.
No thanks.
And here we are giving them this unnecessary pub. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
This morning was kind of unique for me. I met my third cousin once removed. Roy Katchke. He's like in his mid to late 60s, I'm pretty sure. And he was just passing through. He's based in Washington, and right now he's currently on a trip where he's meeting all sorts of ancestors. And I like met him like 10 years ago, but I don't remember him at all.
Way.
But he, yeah, I don't know. It's just really interesting learning about my family's history. I'm good. Drew just asked if I wanted water.
No, he didn't.
But yeah, it was just kind of neat learning a bit about the Katchke origin, how there's a sect of Jewish Katchkes out there. Some
ancestors. Is there like fun like Katchke, like kind of like with the Kennedy legend of like what they did in like Ireland and stuff before they left? Is there any fun like Katchke like curses or?
No, not really.
Nothing.
No.
Can you just make up something for us right now?
Well, basically, the second born, if you have a multiple children, the second born is anticipated to die by their 35th birthday.
And you are?
I am the first born, so...
You're in the clear.
I'm just waiting for my sister to die in, like, 19 years. We're living on borrowed time right now.
It's gonna be tough, yeah. Once you hit that midway point, that's where it all goes downhill. It's like, you know, I've already lived half my life.
Supposedly, if you have salt with iodine, that's supposed to cure it. Just spend a year eating just that.
Okay.
But, I don't know, she's real picky about
that's
what
gotta
she
do wonders
eats.
For your urinary tract, yeah.
Well, that's the thing, though. You can't drink anything for a whole year. You just can only eat iodine salt.
Well, does she go spend time in Utah, or...?
Not yet. We're in talks to set her up over there, and we're also trying to end this bit because it's not very funny.
This isn't true, is it? I guess not.
The gullible Evan Pylock.
Yeah. I just thought I'd add one of those to get you out of a bad bit.
Every bit should be ended with that.
Just be.
This is a variation on Drew's regular bit when we've run out of things to say. Is Drew goes, so yeah.
when we're up on a high, you know, kind of having fun, and then once it comes down, it's just kind of like, yeah. Okay. A little sobering moment.
Reminds you about the fragility of human life.
Anyway.
I should go.
Let's move. And now to something completely different.
Evan, you're about to take a big trip.
Yes, I'm going to Elkhart Lake tomorrow.
See in the world.
Yes. About an hour away from here. It's like the world. And I'm going to Noah's Ark on Wednesday.
There you go.
And I'm going up to Madison that day as well.
The world's largest water park.
Yes.
Madison, not
Noah's Ark. Man, you got
it. It's currently mostly underwater.
State
from
Street
the,
is just a big slip and slide.
From the large floods, yes. It's become America's largest water park.
I'm really curious to see how that place looks now. I've seen pictures and it's just, oof.
I've heard they remodeled the Capitol, put in a big, the bowl one, where you know, go down and go side to side across the bowl, like a bowl ride, I don't know. What do you call those?
Well, they've got like a water raft ride there too.
Yeah. So it's they take.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about Madison being the world's largest water park.
I missed that.
Once again, not a funny bit. So
I was
just gonna end it.
I was outside. For that.
Evan was trying to be serious and talk about like I wonder what Lake Delton's gonna look like, but we're like no. Let's keep pretending that Madison is a big water park.
I thought the show was about the issues.
You were really wrong.
That's the podcast 2 houses over.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's what zip codes will be.
Are you guys big water park fans or?
I used to go to Familyland all the time.
Me too.
But now it's not Familyland. It's something else.
Mount Olympus, I believe, maybe.
I don't know.
With the roller coasters.
They like
and
they combined them. I think.
Yeah.
They merged.
Yeah. No. I feel like it's a. Wisconsin Dells is kind of becoming like a, with all its casinos and things popping up, like even like a, Like a Northwoodsy version of Vegas.
All right. I'm thinking like a Branson, Missouri kind of like
there
style
you go.
Too.
A little bit like that, yeah. A little bit like Reno, but it's in the Northwoods.
You just need more C-list celebrities doing shows.
Who could we pull in? We could get
someone to perform at the Booze Brothers in the Wisconsin Dells.
There you go. Get anybody from the show Sports Night to do a stand-up comedy act. Most of them went on to have outrageously good careers.
Felicity Huffman doing stand-up comedy.
That's what I'm talking about. Felicity Huffman, A-list star, but put her doing stand-up comedy.
I think I know who that is.
Instantly C-list. She was the one who did the transgender movie a couple years ago.
She's also on Desperate Housewives.
Okay, I don't know who that is. She was in... it's not worth it. I don't know who she is. I'll look her up when I get home.
There
Note
you go.
To self.
Yeah, so I don't know. Wisconsin Dells. It's a good place to go. Mm-hmm. We're going to pub it and say, go Dells.
Drew, I have to ask, why are you so dressed up today?
They look really nice.
I was going to go golfing later. I just don't know if I'll be able to get it in. It's a little windy out, so...
Where's the nearest golf course?
I belong to a golf course about a mile or so down the road. North Shore, it's a good course. They're going to remodel it over the next few years and redo each nine, so it's going to be really nice. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, I will not live here and will not be able to take advantage of that. So, but it's a good course, wide fairways, and I'm a decent golfer. I'm okay, I'm not great. Rarely ever, if ever, broke 90. So,
speaking of sports, what do you guys think about the Brewers trading for CC Sabathia?
I don't. We're talking too much about the issues now. I don't know. I don't know, Rick. What do you think about the Brewers trading for CC Sabathia?
First of all, here's how I found out about the CC Sabathia trade. It's been rumored all this
arguably
time.
Arguably the biggest baseball trade of the year.
Yes. This season, maybe the Johan Santana trade also notable, but so far in season trade.
In season, yeah.
When we were at the hotel in New York, the walls were incredibly thin, and the people that stayed in the hotel right next to us happened to be from Milwaukee.
Oh, okay.
So I heard the guy on his cell phone saying, "What? We got Sabathia?" And I'm like, "Wait a minute."
Oh, that happened while you were in New York. Yeah, I forgot about that.
And then he's like, "Yeah, well, we gave up LaPorta? We gave up LaPorta?"
He's really upset.
He's really upset. And
like, the Brewers have a lot of prospects, you know, coming up. They have a great farm system.
Yeah.
So
I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on? So I'm like, I'm on my phone, like, trying to find out the details and everything. Meanwhile, for 40 minutes, this guy's calling his buddies, like, "I don't know about this Sabathia trade. I mean, LaPorta, with LaPorta, you got a stud. You look at his numbers.
Who's done pretty well in the minors, but has not
hasn't
anything
proven
in the
anything
majors.
Yet. He's supposed to be a very good player, but and this guy, well, I don't know about Melvin. I mean, we got Linebrink last year, and look at that. Look at that. I mean, that was a bad deal. And look at Sabathia. Everyone's talking about how great a pitcher he is. He's 6-8. We gave up a top prospect for a guy who is 6-8. And it's sort of like, well, he actually has a really good ERA.
Yeah.
His record, he's in the American League, so it's not like he gets to even bat. The only thing he has control of is how many runs the other team scores.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and if you're on a bad team, your win-loss record is not going to favor you.
No, the Indians have been very, very disappointing this season, and so they're trying to, you know, build for future years.
Does your dad still work for the Brewers, Evan?
No, my dad used to work as a scoreboard director for the Milwaukee Brewers, I think, from 1982 to, I think, about 2002. So he's working there about 20 years, but he is now just working at Marquette.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did he do, like, the out-of-town scoreboards and all the scoreboards?
I guess back when
that's kind of an interesting job, yeah.
No. Yeah, back when he was the tapes and the... What do they call that? What's the tape that's in the tape?
Ticker tape?
The like the black stuff where you had to do like splicing and everything, like actual like physical splicing as opposed to like digital stuff.
Okay.
He worked a lot with that. And then ever since like they moved to more like a digital kind
of like the videographer.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
like the
video
screen.
Video
stuff,
yeah,
like doing programming for that.
Yeah.
So he was doing linear editing as opposed to non-linear editing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
But yeah, well, like he'd like actually work, have to like cut up like film clips of like the plays and stuff?
Back in the day, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I used to go every once in a while. My sister and I would go down to County Stadium, and we'd help them. We'd have to go like do some work for like a pregame show the next day, and then we go to like Gilly's. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Gilly's ice cream down
there. Yeah,
yeah. So yeah, I mean, it was really cool. And then ever since Miller Park, though, it's kind of like it's a new wave of, I guess, video.
Well, now it's super easy because, I mean, they'll just go through the game and say, here were these top plays, let's cut them out and just throw mm-hmm. them to like a clips like bin. Mm-hmm. And then, like, when someone wants to put together something for the scoreboard, they just pull out of that and say,
yeah.
give me a Ryan Braun hitting a home run clip, mm-hmm. and bam, there it is. Like,
not hard to bam, find.
There it is.
They talk to the computer, too. It's all voice activated.
Give me a Ryan Braun hitting a home run. Here you go. I'm sorry, I can't do that, Dave. Apparently, Miller Park is run by Hal.
And now the other big news story is Brett Favre. Apparently, he wants back in, but the Packers don't want him, so there's a debate. Is he coming back? Will he be back with the Packers? Will he go to another team?
I'm actually excited that we're talking about like local sports news that's actually national sports news that has also gotten a lot of talk, because normally we'll talk about almost...
We talk about minor very obscure moves that the Admirals make with the national Predators.
Well, we talk about very obscure Predators. Former Bucks players that we both know, but I'm sure a lot of people don't. But yeah, no, Brett Favre, it's kind of being blown way out of proportion, and I think that everyone agrees, even a lot of diehard Packer fans, that it'd be the wrong decision for him to come back to the team, especially after deciding to retire.
I just feel like Brett Favre's being kind of a dick.
A little bit.
That's basically how I feel. What do you think about it, Evan?
I think he should try the Arena League. I think he'd... Yeah.
He could play for... Crusher's got a spot.
He could play for the Green Bay team, the Green Bay Blizzard. They're in the Arena Football 2 League.
There you go.
That's a plug for that.
They could play against the San Diego Riptide, also of the Arena Football 2 League. San Diego would have a major Arena Football League if they built a halfway decent arena, but they have not had built a new arena since 1967. So,
it's kind just of like a roller derby.
It pretty much is. If you saw the movie Semi-Pro, it looked like one of those arenas that was built then. It has both the Clippers and the Rockets, who both left because even in the 70s, the arena was not up to par. Even though it was built just previously, like 2 or 3 years before.
Yeah, I did see Semi-Pro. I really enjoyed Andy Daly's performance as one of the commentators. What did you think of the movie?
I never saw it. We had it at Valley for a week. So, I mean, like, it was in and out.
Well, I'm sure those rated R films don't do too well as well.
They don't, but, I mean, like, that movie generally just didn't do much at all.
It was actually a pretty decent movie. It's just that people, I think, it got played up too much as another Will Ferrell sports comedy, whereas I think if you would have played up the fact that Woody Harrelson was in it a little bit more and all the kind of bit characters that were in it a little bit more...
It probably would have earned less.
If they went
marketing, it was like, we got Woody Harrelson!
But I think what people want to see, and I think I've heard a lot of this, you know, just generally, is that people love Ferrell and his little bit characters, mm-hmm. and they like him as a leading man, but not too much of it being shoved down their throats to where it's 2 to 3 films a year, maybe one a year, and then 2 other supporting roles. So if they would have played it, Will Ferrell's in it, but he's more of a supporting character, I think a lot more people would come out to see it. Because it would have given them, you know, it wouldn't have shoved it down their throats as much, I think. Mm-hmm. So, but it probably would have earned less. Rick is right.
Starring Woody Harrelson.
It's like that movie Play It to the Bone.
Yeah.
With, what's it? Woody Harrelson and, what's his name? With their boxers. It's him against, he was Zorro. Antonio Banderas.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
So made a lot of money.
Play It to the Bone. Check it out. Incidentally, that's Rick's video pick of the week. It's
a movie I've never seen.
It's
all
right.
It's a blind recommendation.
Go check it out. Maybe it's good. Maybe it's not. I don't know. Most likely it's not. But most likely you'll feel like you wasted 2 hours. So you're welcome. But back to Brett Favre to keep on the track. I don't think we got there. I don't know. I think...
Back to Brett Favre!
Wait, what?
I don't know, guys. I think that's it.
ESPN that's is awesome. Courting me heavily for my skills to bring up an issue and then discuss nothing about it. Display no information and waste airtime.
I felt like we had sort of run out of steam with Brett Favre.
I felt like you just switched gears somewhere else. I wanted to express feelings about it. I'm not going to say it again. I feel like he's gone... I felt like he was too old last year, really. Mm-hmm. And to keep him in the league like this long, his body's going to keep deteriorating at a faster and faster rate. And men that old just shouldn't be in the NFL, regardless of whether they're one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time or not. So,
I think he can still do it. It's just sort of like he's been wavering so much, and I just don't like that.
He made the decision to retire.
Yeah.
You live with it.
And the fact that he doesn't understand necessarily why the Packers would be unwilling to give him his unconditional release so he could sign wherever. Yeah.
Exactly. It's like, come on, you made the decision to retire. Move on. Let the team move on. And I think it's the best thing for them, and I think it's the best thing for him, really, just to accept. I think he just doesn't want to see his family. I think he's... It's kind of like Arrested Development, you know, where it's like he goes home and he's there for a couple months and he's just like, I've made a terrible mistake. No, so... Switching gears to something totally different.
Hey, you didn't go, so yeah. Let's go. Should we start with our recommendations?
Do you want to do that, or do you want to stick it to Steck? Or do you think sticking it to Steck was the end so this week?
I think you've been stuck enough throughout the episode. It's been a running sticking it to Steck.
It's
the so yeah has been the stick it to Steck. Do you have a Steck deck for me? Have
Steck
I done something
back.
Wrong?
Has
Evan done something wrong that you want to Steck deck him? By the way, I was explaining the sticking it to Steck and a Steck deck to Evan on the way up, and he's like, okay, so, well, what's Steck?
I didn't know that's your last name.
And I thought that would be brilliant if it was just like, we just put in this nonsense word.
So anyway, my Steck deck for Evan would be, I think you should know the last name of someone before you go on their podcast.
Oh, I signed you up for that.
Kind of like going home with a
well,
girl. I'm pretty sure you should know her her last name. It's very similar with a podcast.
You need to know a girl's last name for sure before you take her back home.
That's what my grandfather told me, and I keep that with me.
Is this your grandfather who said that the best idea for the Bucks was for them to have naked girls?
It's the same grandfather. He's a very smart man. He's given me many tidbits of information, which I keep with me to this day.
It could work, too.
So, including the best way to get ketchup out of a bottle is to hip upward with your the bottom part of your palm into the 57 on the ketchup bottle.
I don't know if I believe that.
It is. Try it.
I think that's what we in the business call an urban legend.
That way you don't get your knife all ketchup-y.
That's true. I suppose.
But anyway.
First off, let's go with our sandwich pick of the week. I'm, as always, recommending the Subway Chicken Parmesan. This is going to change the way we view grassroots marketing. I want them to bring it back. And if I can recommend that they do it, you can too, so get on it.
I hope that nobody calls in, but there's just some guy in the same brain wavelength over at Subway as you who's just like, I think we should bring back the chicken parmesan. Like, no one said anything to them, and then you feel like you've done something. It's kind of like the Jeff Goldblum skit in SNL where he was like, that's my wave. Look at the wave that I... Where he tries to start the wave and it keeps going. He's like, look at the wave that I started. And then he starts trying to like end his wave because he feels like it's become too powerful. It was a pretty good one. You could probably find it on YouTube.
If they do bring it back, I will be sure to put some sort of label on our website, like, from the guys who brought back the chicken parmesan sandwich at Subway.
You can promote it.
That'll be our little tag.
That'll be our tag. We'll start getting, you know, people of the internet. Kevin Seitz will start doing write-ups on us. Anyway, so...
What's your sandwich, Drew?
My sandwich of the week would actually be a chicken club sandwich with chicken, avocado, and bacon. Maybe throw some tomato in there. Sprinkle on a little sauce, whether you want a mustard sauce or... we'll say mustard sauce. And throw it on a Kaiser roll.
Sounds good to me. Evan, do you have a sandwich pick?
Anything. I'm a big turkey guy. I'll take it over ham any day of the week. Pretty much you put turkey on anything, and it's a pretty damn good sandwich. Brought to you by Value Cinema on Oak Creek.
Have that in a warm candy bar. You just set yourself
you
up
go.
Real nice.
Given to you by a man who lives in his car.
Oh, I didn't mention. He lives in his car, and you know budget cinemas? I don't know if you guys...
Yes.
It's not... We compete with them, and it's like on High 100. It's like 20 minutes away. He lives in his car across the street from Budget, but he drives down to Valley Cinema.
He's a dedicated...
He's dedication.
Hot bar. Maybe just because they won't let him in at Budget Cinema for hot candy bars.
And he writes... Oh gosh, it's all coming back to me. He writes fake... You know, you do like the comment cards? And he's written at least 10, but they all have different names on them. But you can tell...
Does he have 7 live journal accounts?
I don't think he has a computer. But, like, it's weird because, like, the comments, I was like, your staff inspires me to do my best. And it's just like that's really nice, but that's, like, as
who
nice as
that?
It is
creepy.
It's as nice as it is creepy, so.
Wherever you are, Dan.
Oh, wow.
Drew, do you have a YouTube pick of the week?
Yes, I do, Rick. Hold on 1 second.
In Ledger?
Is he?
Let's see here.
See, this is why you don't bring it to the... This is why you come unzipped.
Unzipped.
You have it unzipped to the show.
I wanted to let them hear that I was bringing out the notebook.
Yeah.
Anyways.
People have already stopped.
they've left.
Like, oh, what is the zipper in my ears?
Out of protest.
Click off.
I'm just saying.
Wow. No, it's a... my YouTube pick of the week is actually a serious YouTube video, or like a actual filmmaker I'm trying to give a filmmaker spotlight to is a... It's a film called The Sound Machine. Search The Sound Machine, and then on the end it should have a, in parentheses, 2008. And it's by the user ZHD, all lowercase, 05. And check that out, The Sound Machine.
Evan, do you have a YouTube pick?
Yeah, sure. That's a guy I was talking to Rick about before, Louis Theroux. He's British. He's on the BBC. He's just basically a sociologist. He goes around, like, the United States. He's done episodes on... UFOs, porn stars, survivalists that live in, like, Idaho, and they're afraid of, like, the government.
Yeah, those people.
And it's really, like, enjoyable stuff. He's really, like, he's not, like, demeaning to him, but he just likes to ask a lot of good questions.
Just kind of the questions everybody would ask.
He's not afraid of that. Like,
how do you spell the last name?
Theroux. And it's Louis, Louis. Yeah, okay. Actually. Yeah, he's British. I don't know why I said that. But.
Why he has a French last name, yes. But yeah, he's British.
My YouTube pick is going to be the 1995 AFC Championship game, the last 6 minutes of it. We're talking Colts versus Pittsburgh.
Technically, that's actually the 1996 championship game, but it's from the 1995 season.
Well, 95-96.
Don't give away who wins.
Because the 95 championship game was the Chargers versus the Steelers, which is also a great last 6 minutes of the game as well.
Usually, for some reason, when they talk about players, like it's the 85 Bears that won the championship, but they won it in 1986. So mm-hmm. you say the year before.
You know what, Rick? You know
that you just got. I'm sticking it to Steck. Don't call me out on this when this is what people do in the business. The '96 Packers were.
It's exactly what they do. But I was in particular because I thought you were talking about the Chargers championship game, and then was sadly disappointed to find out it was the Colts.
No, the AFC championship game between the Colts and the Steelers is awesome. It ends on a Hail Mary pass, and which looks like the guy caught it, and. And then Jim Harbaugh starts to celebrate, and then realizes that all the Steelers are celebrating, and they have this great shot where Harbaugh is like turning to somebody, and you can read his lips, and he goes, "I thought he caught it." And it's like this whole like 6.5 minute segment of like the final ending of the game.
That sounds
good. Also former Chargers quarterback who went on to coach USD and now is the coach of Stanford, I believe. They brought him in, so.
That's weird because like the Colts were really bad in like the Tecmo Super Bowl. They're like the worst team to be, you know. I was like 4 or 5 years later, they're playing for the championship.
Tecmo Super Bowl was an obsession that both Evan and I shared. One of the reasons
I also share that obsession with Tecmo Super Bowl.
I love my favorite player was Gil Finnerty. He was a running back for the New Orleans Saints in that game, and he would return kicks. And you could put him in. He was a backup, but you could put him in as your starter. And for some reason, he was like. Really elusive, and you know how sometimes in the game, like you get caught up, and there'd be like a rumble, and you'd have to like try to break away. He would always be able to break out of those.
Maybe it was a glitch, and Gilfer Nerdy is the greatest player of all time.
Gilfer Nerdy's like brother-in-law worked for Tecmo.
Bob Nelson of the Packers. Now he's the nose tackle. He's like the greatest player.
But who did you have as your QB? Did you go with Mikowski, or did you go with Anthony
Dilwig? I went with Mikowski. I just chuck up to Ed West.
There you go.
It's no joke, Eli. Like, I played this game like nonstop. I didn't have any system beyond NES until like high school, so I just kept playing.
Well, if you come out and visit me, Rick, I have an NES out there, and I promise to find a copy of Tecmo Super Bowl.
Sounds good.
I've got this local store there that has like all the old games that they resell. It's like the greatest place ever. It's like a candy store.
It's like Funko Land.
I could probably go in there and spend like $1,000, no joke. Like easy, just buy every single game because I'd find hours of it.
Later on, we're gonna have a guest on the show on the series run who I used to get in like epic Tecmo Super Bowl matchups, AFC versus NFC championship game, and I always beat him. And like even when it looked like the one time that I was going to beat him, like it was like this miracle play at the end where he ended up losing.
I had a similar experience with one of my friends where we played NFL Blitz, the original NFL Blitz, over and over again, and there'd be times when I was so upset that I knew I was about to lose, so I'd turn the system off and be like, it didn't count. It didn't count. You didn't beat me. You didn't win. So,
you were just an asshole.
Pretty much, yeah.
You're a sore loser. Album pick of the week, Drew.
My album pick of the week is actually just an artist pick of the week, would be the Fleet Foxes. And I'd actually pick their album Ragged Wood to listen to. It's probably got my favorite tracks on it. But
Evan brought up the Fleet Foxes on the way up.
I've seen them on Friday.
If you want to throw out another Fleet Foxes album, we can make this a Fleet Foxes.
You stole it.
Roundup.
I've never.
Do you know another album by Fleet Foxes?
They have an album out, which is it was originally called Ragged Wood, but they changed it, I guess, to Fleet, just self titled. But they have an EP, Sun Giant, which came out like a couple months ago. They're just a really good band. Just exciting.
Yeah, they kind of sound a little bit like Band of Horses. Mm-hmm. And they're apparently inspired by Final Fantasy.
Yeah. So. I read that. Is that Rolling Stone?
Rolling Stone, yeah. I read that article, yeah. So they're apparently inspired by Final Fantasy. I like their music and I saw that article. I was like, mm-hmm. Wow, that's cool. So
I've never heard of the Fleet Foxes, but I'm going to toss out Fleetwood Mac, your album Rumors. I'm not really sure what all the songs are that are on that album. I have never really heard it before in my life, but
as long as Landside's
on
there,
it's a blind recommendation.
You love these blind recommendations.
And your video pick of the week, Rick.
My video pick of the week is Up for Grabs. It's a documentary about the Barry Bonds home run ball, the last one that he hit in his record-setting year, and the debate between the two guys who claim that they caught it, the court battle that ensues. They're both jerks. And they awesomely get their comeuppance at the end. It's really funny, and you'd think that it's a mockumentary, but it's a legitimate.
It's legitimately like these two characters. Guys are just such characters.
And one of them reminds me in his face if you put on like a lot of weight, like what your face would look like.
If I'd be,
and if you were like 20 years older,
and you got the ball.
Drew, you have a pick of the week?
I'm just going to actually gain 20 pounds and then make a movie. Or not 20 pounds, I'm going to gain like 50 pounds.
Well, in your face for the most part. Okay. It'll have to go to your face.
I'll just like wear like a collar so it'll just all stay up here. I don't know, like one of those Elizabethan collars. my pick of the reek would be... I had it, and then I lost it when you talked about me gaining weight. Well, Evan, go ahead. And
you lost it when you decided to make fun of me. Let's be honest.
All right.
Evan, you pick it up.
I'll get it. Well, the classic. I've seen this movie twice now. No Holds Barred. Hulk Hogan stars as Rip. He's a wrestler. He fights the man. Made in 1990-something. And it's amazing. That's all I'm gonna say.
What's the name of the bad guy that he wrestles in, man?
Zeus!
Yeah, Zeus! Because, okay, it was SummerSlam 1990. He actually fought Zeus.
No, Zeus. They brought it kind of as like a cheap.
Or was it 89? It was like 89 or 90.
Okay.
Where it was Zeus versus Hulk Hogan.
There you go.
And I remember, I think Randy Savage was in Hogan's corner. It might have even been a tag team matchup with Zeus and Ted DiBiase.
Against Randy Savage and Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
That sounds like one of the greatest wrestling matches of all time.
I'm relatively sure. I remember Zeus, this black guy.
Did you just say Zeus? It's how he's saying souls.
There you go. I remember what mine is. In the week before The Dark Knight, maybe the most anticipated film of the year, my pick is a animated film called Batman Gotham Knight. Which is an animated film written by David S. Goyer and a couple other screenwriters who ghostwrote for The Dark Knight and also for Batman Begins, and it's produced by him and Christopher Nolan. It's supposed to be the bridge story of what happens between Batman Begins and Dark Knight. So if you're really kind of into those, just check that guy out. And some great animation in there and some great stories. So it's pretty neat to bridge the two and kind of brush up on Batman before you go.
Be sure to check out Batman Gotham Knight.
Shagath.
All right, well, this has been the Internet's Maximum Potential. I've been Rick Kachke.
I've been Drew Stack.
And I've been thoroughly entertained.
And once again, this has been the Internet's Maximum Potential.
Woo!